get naked. Do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right. Comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown!
Unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
All right, we've got a very, very busy Football Friday on CBD. Vic and Nathan with you. So much to talk about in the realm of free agency, in the realm of pro days. You name it, we're going to cover it. And we've got a full lineup of guests today, including a Browns player who recently inked a contract extension and a key guy, Billy Cundiff. You remember a year ago when there was a lot of hand-wringing and such, or at least at the time of free agency, when Phil Dawson was not only before he actually headed out the door to San Francisco, even before then, there was, what are they going to do? Fan favorite guy, what's going to happen to the Browns? Well, what happened was they settled on a guy named Billy Cundiff, who did quite well, especially when it came to touchbacks. So at 2:15 today, we're going to talk with Billy about his new contract. We'll certainly get into his vision and view of where things are going with this Browns team that has undergone so much change in the short time that he's been with them, and also talk about the extension of the extra point, now maybe proposed to be a 43-yard effort instead of the gimme kick that it has been for many, many, many years. That's going to be talked about at the owners' meetings a little later this month. So Billy Cundiff joining us. Excited to have Daniel Jeremiah with us as well. Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network, a former NFL scout. The man knows his stuff, and we're going to have Daniel with us on the show at 2:30 p.m. We'll get into draft analysis with him. This is a guy who worked with Mike Pettine in Baltimore, knows him well. We've had him on the show before. He's a great guest. We'll get some good download from him. Doug Deacon, always great to have the analyst from the Cleveland Browns, the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, alongside Jim Donovan. Doug is going to join us at 1:30 and get his Browns thoughts then. Let's start with a story that I know has created a lot of buzz, and it was a national piece that appeared in USA Today. They did an interview with the USA Today's Brent Sobleski, sat down with Alex Mack, or got him on the phone or whatever, interviewed him, and it was an exclusive piece in which Mack discussed his future. And I'll tell you what, Nathan, in reading this story and going through this, it seems to open up the idea of Mack maybe just being determined to see what is out there. The Browns have placed a transition tag on him, so they've protected themselves at least from the standpoint of having the ability to match an offer that he gets from somewhere else. And at the very least, they're guaranteed if he gets nothing else and they don't match it, or they don't have to match it, and they don't come to an agreement on a long-term deal, there's a one-year $10.039 million guarantee for him at the end of it all. But it raises some questions about sort of his thinking as it applies to going forward with the Browns. Does the guy really want to continue playing for this team? Obviously, there was an effort made to get a deal done with him, and by all things we've been hearing, the Browns made a very earnest effort to get that done. Where do you think this is going?
I don't know, and I think that's the real question right now, and that is, what does this mean for the Browns? What does this mean from Alex Mack? Because we know Alex Mack went on record early in this process saying that if he would like to return to the Browns, wanted to see what if the Browns could make him a good offer, that he would like to come back here. And now, yesterday, we hear that, you know, basically in this USA Today article, instead of saying, yeah, I want to come back to Ryan, said, yeah, it's okay. But at the other point, he's quoted as saying, quote, you only get to play this game so long. Let's see what else is out there. And I just wonder, from a fan standpoint, does that change your opinion on Alex Mack at all? I can tell you this. He is the number one priority of the Cleveland Browns. Re-signing Alex Mack and inking him to a long-term deal is the number one priority of the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
The Cleveland Browns this past weekend flew out. You don't go out there with the owner, the general manager, the head coach, the team president to go out there and lowball Alex Mack. I know a very handsome offer was made to Alex Mack, an offer that I think maybe many would think would have gotten the deal done, and it hasn't. And now the quotes come out where Mack is putting himself out there as being a guy who wants to go into free agency. His agent, you know, is he driving this train saying, you know, I would never give a client of mine, remove the opportunity for them to be a free agent. We'll see. But I'm just curious because I've gotten some tweets where people are kind of turning on him
on
a little bit on Twitter. And listen, I can at some point relate a person wanting to see what their value is out there, and I am happy that the Browns use the transaction tag so that he can do that, but they also retain the right to keep him. But just a little bit of a change in the semantics from Alex Mack earlier in this process to now, and it just raises a few flags.
I think it raises some flags. Look, many times of seeing this happen, when a player gets to a point of becoming a free agent, he wants to experience the chance to have the entire league bid on his services, especially when he's a player the caliber of an Alex Mack, a Pro Bowl center, an All-Pro center, regarded as arguably, if not the best center in the game, certainly one of the very best. But you nailed it. When you put together the hierarchy of the team that is investing in this team, that's not going to be bashful about spending money. We know that about Jimmy Haslam. And they get on a plane and they go out to see the guy and his representative, and they want to make it clear to him that they because the obligation on the team, the team for which the player is currently attached, is to make that preemptive strike, is to keep him out of the free agent market. And by all accounts, I'm hearing the same thing you are. The Browns went ahead and aggressively tried to get that done, and it wasn't acceptable to Alex Mack, obviously.
At this time.
Or else we wouldn't be having this discussion. They wouldn't have had to put that tag on him. He would have been done to a long-term deal. The goal was to get that done. Okay, so they didn't do that, and now the option for him is to go out and explore and see what's out there. But what is he going to find? Is he going to go into the open market and get another team to say, you know what, we'll pay you the most money that any center has ever made in football? I know that's conceivable, but is that going to happen? And then if it does happen, the Browns obviously can respond accordingly. They don't necessarily have to match that, but I get the impression that the Browns are open to matching a lot, especially with their preemptive attempt to get him off the free agent market.
Yeah, and listen, and I think Cleveland as a city is a little more sensitive to this as things have gone on. But, you know, we definitely want to hear from you guys about this, 216-578-0850. Of course, tweet the show at Browns_daily. On a more positive note, as we said, we will have the first signing of the Ray Farmer era. Billy Cundiff, the kicker, joins us in the second hour at 2:15. I can tell you about some people coming in on Twitter right now. They're saying, you know, you can't blame him for looking given the chaos that has been the Browns organization of late. So I get that, and I do hope that ultimately when it comes down to it, and the Browns have put the provisions in place to protect themselves, that they are able to retain Alex Mack. And I know, as I said before, and I'll say it again, I know it is the number one priority of this team to sign center Alex Mack to a long-term deal, ensuring that he is the center of the Cleveland Browns for years and years to come, and would like to pay him handsomely for doing so. Speaking of talking about Alex Mack and that conversation, Eddie in Westlake is on the phone with us here on CBD.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, Eddie. How are you?
Pretty good. Hey, you know what? Alex Mack is the least of my concerns because I think that, like you guys just mentioned, the provisions that they put in place, you know, Alex Mack, first of all, he's making almost $2 million more than what the highest paid center is making right now. And the deal is, even if Alex Mack is to go out there and find somebody that's going to pay him $45, $50 million, which I doubt it, it's highly unlikely, over the life of the contract, typically half or less than half of that guarantee, you're talking about maybe 20 at the most. I think Kelce's contract had $18 million guarantee. And whether you look at it one way or the other, some people say he's the best center in the league. Other people say Alex Mack, whatever. We all know he's probably in the top three or four centers in the league, but needless to say, he may be more or less a couple million more than Kelce, but that's a really good measuring stick as to what Alex Mack would be worth. And so if a team was able to want to give him $20 million, he's getting half of that right now. And so now the downside to it is that he's going to be 30 by the time the season starts that following year. And so the reason why guys are so hungry because, you know, there's no guaranteed contract. You have to fight and claw for as much of this guaranteed money as you can get. So I get it. I'm not mad at him about that, but the Browns are in a position of power. Even though he's a free agent, the Browns are in a position of power because they paid him $2 million more than what the average guy is making, the highest paid guy is making. He can't turn that down.
Did we lose him? Okay. And he makes, you know, he makes a valid point. Now, I'm not going to dismiss and just say, as he did, that Alex Mack would be the least of the concerns. There's a reason they prioritized him, and there's a reason they wanted to get this done, which means you don't want to lose him. And
right.
It's not just not losing him because it's a bad look or anything else for the Browns. It's a reason for football. You take him out of the equation, you've got some major overhauling that has to be done to that offensive line. Keeping Alex Mack is vital to the Browns' efforts to improve this offense. And you just can't assume you're going to be able to plug somebody else in and say, okay, we'll get along with somebody else. They know that. They, being the Browns, know that. The Browns brass. So they're trying to proceed accordingly. But I will also say this. You've got to have a genuine interest on the part of the player. If he doesn't want to be here and would rather, and I'm not saying this is the case with Alex Mack, but if that is coming up in this conversation, I'd really rather look elsewhere because I just want to be elsewhere and pursue that. Well, you got to take that into consideration too. I mean, you don't want to have a sort of a hostile retained guy on your team.
I would like to think that given all of his friends in the locker room and everything, that when it gets down to it and the Browns are able to lock him up long term, which we all hope is the outcome, that, you know, that's going to be fine. He's going to test the market. That's what he wants to do. And in a way, I think, and opposed to putting the franchise tag on him and putting the transition tag, it was in some ways can be taken as an olive branch from the Browns in the sense that they will say, listen, we're going to give you the right to test free agency. You're going to get that experience. And his agents have said, basically, we're approaching this as though he were an unrestricted free agent. So he's going to get that. But at the same time, they're going to have the opportunity to make sure they keep him if somebody makes an offer that they want. I think it just is interesting. You know, you'd like to read, you know, in the paper from Alex Mack, at least I would as a Browns fan. And again, like I said, I understand why he wants to test, see what's out there. I get that. But you do want to hear that somebody wants to be here. They basically rolled out the red carpet for him with all the top guys in the company, and hopefully he will be able to, you know, they'll be able to work it out. But I know that it is a top priority. I know that the Browns are doing everything they can to make sure he stays here. And ultimately, we'll find out how this plays out when free agency opens. And it could be done before then. It's always possible. But it certainly sounds like it is at this point. He is going to test free agency, which begins again officially at 4 p.m. on Tuesday.
Yeah, he's going to test it. But that tag is there. That tag means something. That transition tag means something. And it's a calculated decision on the part of the Browns to put that kind of tag transition on him, which means there is no compensation if they don't match for him. But it also allows him to, like you said, see what's out there, and then the Browns can protect their interests by matching that. And maybe when you go down the road of a negotiation that had, and we're not quoting specific numbers here, but you and I have it on very good authority within the Browns organization that an aggressive effort was made to give him a deal that he would feel compelled to sign. If you're already in that place as an organization, then you're probably prepared to match much, if not most, if not anything he gets. I know anything is a pretty strong way to put it because I can't predict what somebody will offer. But we are talking about a center. We're not talking about a left tackle. That's so in the market value for other teams, the same thing would apply. So a number that comes down for him will, I'm sure, be at the high, if not highest end of center money. But I think the Browns are willing to go there anyway. So the transition tag would allow them to do a match on that. We are just getting this thing started. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. He is Nathan Zagura. I'm Vic Carucci. And we have got so much coming up for you. Doug Deacon at the bottom of the hour. Your calls at 216-578-0850. Your tweets at Browns_daily. Rolling along on ESPN 850 WKNR.